Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4013. I see you bobbing your head. That's okay. Go ahead. Hey, today it's how to move forward with the power of stillness and silence. I'm going to give you my 7 steps. Okay, I know right now you're bobbing your head, shaking your shoulders. In a minute, we'll get still though. Hey kids, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom. Find the show notes to this episode at leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just look for episode 4013. Hey, thanks for being here. Greatly appreciate it. Send me your feedback. Join the community. Subscribe. Leave me a review. Lots of calls to action. How to move forward with the power of stillness and silence. I don't profess that these 7 steps that are going to be my 7 steps should be your 7 steps, but they might help you construct your own, get your own strategy going. For a few days now, I've battled a bit of stomach queasiness. You ever had that? Sure you have. And being still helps. It just, you know, if your head's moving around, it's just, I don't know, motion doesn't make it better. And having quiet, that doesn't hurt either. On Wednesday morning of last week, we drove north a few hours to attend the funeral of a woman that I have known my entire life. In fact, she was Stanley's mother. Stanley was a friend who passed away last May. There's a link in the show notes to an episode over at BulaNetwork.com where I talk at length about my relationship with him. So I'll let that episode suffice for that. But his mother passed away. She was 79-ish. And so Rhonda and I drove up there. In fact, Rhonda drove while I sat shotgun so I could keep my head still. And as we took the drive up north into Oklahoma, you know, I was just alone with my thoughts, and I was thinking of the power of stillness and the power of silence. And once more, considering how the internet has elevated the chaos of my life. Well, hasn't it yours? I rather suspect it has elevated the noise and the chaos in all of our lives. It's a great tool. It's not that. It's just, you know, as with most things, there's an upside and a downside. Thomas Merton was a, I don't know how you would describe him. I guess kind of a Catholic scholar philosopher. And he has oft been quoted as saying, "We have what we seek. It is there all the time, and if we slow down and be still, it will make itself known to us." And people love that quote. To it, I respond, well, maybe, maybe not. But I do encourage you to embrace the practice of stillness and silence, if not physically, then metaphorically, or maybe both. I don't know about you, but I'm a pacer. When my phone rings and I answer, and there I go. I'm launched in autopilot into pacing back and forth and around and inside and outside. If I'm answering the call inside, I'm just liable to walk outside. If I'm outside and the phone is answered, I'm liable to walk inside. It just doesn't matter. And the fact is, I just move because moving clears the distractions. It is a stillness that I can find in constant, but okay, relatively slow motion. Does that work for you? I mean, I'm not breaking out into a full bore sprint or anything, but I'm just pacing. And growing up in a Christian home and now being a Christian myself, I was always aware of this scripture, the 46th Psalm, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Now, where I worship, we still sing a song containing that very lyric. Be still and know that I am God. And it means that we should give serious and sober consideration to God. I mean, life is full of distractions that can steer us away from God. And so we need to quieten things down so we can better focus on more important issues, namely the issues of serving God, being righteous and preparing for judgment and eternity. So we drive up to Oklahoma to this funeral, and we arrive at the funeral home about 45 minutes before the scheduled starting time. The family had asked that I be a pallbearer. I was honored, but I was not looking forward to it. My son and his family, they caravaned with us, driving their own car. Easton, my youngest grandchild, just turned one, so he was in tow. And inside the funeral home, Easton found himself in an unfamiliar place. And so I watched him squirm in the arms of my daughter-in-law as he craned his neck from here to there to see all the various elements in this new surroundings. He can't walk yet. But if he could walk, I knew that he'd be like a kitten with lots of balls of yarn on the ground, just way too much to look at, way too much to chase, way too much to distract him. And I watched Easton wiggle, and I watched him twist so he could just take it all in, so he could see everything he could see. And, of course, people were coming and going, and new people were arriving and signing the registration thing and all of that. And I could just see him taking it all in. And I realized, you know, I do the same thing. Maybe you do too. Okay, well, I don't twist and wiggle so much, and that's just due to my lack of limberness. But figuratively speaking, I often feel like I'm rotating my head like an owl with all the sights and all the sounds that go on in life, particularly all the sights and the sounds of the internet. Coke just released a clever YouTube video about controlling our social media urges. You may have seen it. There's a link in the show notes. You should definitely go watch it. It's very clever and it's very well done. And it's taken off and been somewhat viral. The description in the video posted at YouTube says the social media guard takes the social out of media and puts it back into your life. Did you know that the world spends 4 million years online every month? If you're watching this video on your mobile phone, it's time to put it down. Look around you. There's probably someone special you can share a real moment with. Enjoy it with an ice cold Coke. I don't know if that's an actual stat or not. 4 million years online spent every month. Sounds about right, though. As an audio guy, I've sometimes wondered about how much louder the noise is compared to the pre-internet age. I mean, there's no way to measure it. But the absolute threshold of hearing in our head, I mean, doesn't that have to be increasing? I mean, the absolute threshold of hearing would be the level, and it would depend on the frequency, I suppose, but the level at which, okay, I can hear that. I can perceive that I'm hearing something. I'm suspecting that that absolute threshold of hearing in our head, the noise factor, it's got to be going up, doesn't it? I mean, because we're likely getting accustomed to all the noise, and so perceptible differences they've just got to be tougher to recognize than they used to be, I would think. And maybe like our physical hearing, the nerve endings deteriorate with age and repeated use. And that just has to make it, I guess that has to make it necessary for things to be louder and louder and louder, or else we can't hear them. We can't perceive them. I mean, it's the same reason that if you get into a big crowd and there's any kind of music playing, you just practically have to shout at each other so that you can be heard because, well, the noise floor is so high. Reminds me of that great joke. Speaking of hearing, guy buys the world's best hearing aid and he's bragging to his buddy about all the state-of-the-art features that this thing has. And he's bragging about how expensive it was. And the buddy asks, "What kind is it?" He looks at his watch and says, 10:30. Movement, volume level. Those are just two ways that we can think about distractions, preoccupations, and all the other things that might cloud our world. The power of fog is how pervasive it is. And there's just no way to get away from it. It's everywhere. I mean, you really just have to, slog through it until it clears. And it can rack your nerves if you're driving in it. Fact is, on our way to the funeral in Oklahoma, by the time we got to Gainesville, Texas, the fog was so thick, visibility was down to just mere yards on the interstate. And it lingered. It lingered for mile after mile after mile as we went up I-35. All day on Wednesday, it was as though everything was trying to teach me the power of silence and stillness to rid myself of whatever fog may have crept into my life. Now, I don't know. I'm going to admit this. Maybe it was because death was on my mind. Maybe it's because for about 3 weeks, knowing that Stanley's mother was not in good shape, she had suffered a stroke about a week earlier. But even prior to that, I don't know, call it a premonition or whatever, but for about 3 weeks, I had regularly had dreams about Stanley. And maybe it's because I've been preoccupied with a lot of things lately, but whatever the reason, I increasingly became aware that I'm in dire need of stillness and silence, at least right now. And even more, by the time we got back home after this all-day trip to Oklahoma and driving back like we were racing the Daytona 500, I knew that if I'm going to move forward, I need to incorporate a lot more stillness and silence into my life. Do you ever reach a point like that? I mean, where it's just, I don't know, there's just chaos and there's just motion and it's just, it's hectic, you know, and I know that life is hectic and sometimes we can't do anything about that so far as maybe the physical hecticness goes, but we can certainly kind of quiet and settle some things down in our head, can't we? And so I hatched a plan and here's my plan. And along with it, I'll tell you my logic behind each of these steps. And I don't know, see if you can't discern something that can help you maybe come up with your own plan. Here's mine. And there's 7 steps. I could have easily incorporated more or less. Number one, I'm going to steer clear of social media for the next 7 days. Now, there's nothing magical about 7 days or a week. It's just simply a random time that I picked because it feels long enough to make an impact. And I'm also going to dive into this, by the way, with the notion that I may want to extend it. I'm not limiting it to 7 days, but I'm going to set 7 days as kind of a minimum because I may want to extend it. Now, I admit it's often been tempting to step away from social media entirely, but I don't know, something just tells me that that's not realistic. And besides, it's not social media's fault that people abuse it. misuse it, or fill it with loads of noise. But they do. I've done the social media hiatus before. Have you done that? Stepped away from it? I mean, I've found it refreshing every time that I do it. Well, now think about that. That ought to tell me something, shouldn't it? I mean, if I step away from it and it's refreshing, then it's like, okay, dude, why don't you step away from it more frequently? Or maybe just kick it to the curb entirely. I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, there is this addictive draw that these kinds of things have on people. And I've seen it not just in social media, but I've seen it with social gaming phenomenon. And it's very real, and we can poke fun at it, and we can laugh at it, and we can, you know, we can castigate it all we want, because I do, because the social gaming phenomenon is not one that I participate in. It's just not my thing. So I'll get back to you and tell you how it goes as far as extending it for 7 days. But that's step one. I'm going to steer clear of social media for 7 days. Number two, I'm going to create content, and I'm going to stay on schedule with things both here and over at the home base, BulaNetwork.com. Now, I know it's really not part of stillness or silence necessarily, but I'm just letting you know what I'm going to do and why. And part of it for me is creating content is contributing to the noise that others may experience, and I understand that. I mean, that is this podcast that I'm creating is really additional noise for you. But this outpouring of the noise in my head, in the heads of us all who create content, I mean, I guess we like to call it creativity and value and other terms of endearment. But by keeping up with the content creation schedule, I think I'm going to be able to lower the noise floor for myself. Now for you, well, you need to keep listening and you need to keep reading because, well, hey, this is premium content. Okay, you judge that. You can judge that. So number two, I'm going to create content, stay on schedule with things both here and at BulaNetwork.com. That's BULA. Number three, I'm going to begin writing some long form content. I know people usually call them books, but hey, the Winter Olympics are on as I record this. And I was baffled by the figure skating. Figure skating has what they call a short program and a long program. Now, personally, I find both the short and the long programs boring, but hey, I'm a hockey guy. So there. And in fact, as I record, today is February the 21st, Friday. It's Friday night. What a way to spend a Friday night, right? And Team USA women's team gave up a 2-0 goal lead with 3 minutes left and lost to Team Canada in overtime. And today, Team USA men lost to Team Canada 1-0. A shutout. Pitched a shutout. Now, on the good side, Jamie Benn, captain of our Dallas Stars, thank you very much, scored the game-winning goal. So Team Canada gets to go on and play for the gold medal on Sunday. And meanwhile, Team USA gets to play for the bronze tomorrow. Boring. But I observed that figure skating, there's this long-form program and this short form. I don't know. They call it something different. So there you have it. You know, a book sounds like a daunting task, but you know, to begin writing some long form content, well, doesn't that just sound less so? You know, for me, the main chore is to begin and move forward. I don't know how far I'll get. I do know this. If I don't start, I can't finish. And so I'm going to start. I've had way too many people tell me, you need to write a book. So I'm going to start. I have no idea. Nah, that's not fair. I have too many book ideas. But That's step number three. I'm going to begin writing some long form content. Number four, I'm going to visit the gym twice a day for the next week, excluding Sundays. I tend to avoid the gym on Sundays. Not for religious reasons, but it is because I do attend worship services twice on Sunday. And by the time we get home, it's really a productive time for me to get caught up on some things. And Rhonda's usually diving into some sewing project, and it's just kind of a nice, I don't know, it's a nice afternoon, and I just soon not spoil that by going to the gym. So I'm going to try to visit the gym mid to late morning for 45 minutes or so, and then I'm going to try to go again late in the afternoon for another 45 minutes or so. So I'm thinking an hour and a half to 2 hours a day at the gym for the next week. Now, here's what I know that's going to do, and you're already probably ahead of me and thinking, well, hello, how's that going to contribute to stillness? I mean, it's going to give me more physical movement. I get that. But listen, we've already established that the only way to get clear of the fog is you got to keep moving. The fog ain't going anywhere, so you have to move. You've got to get to where there is no fog. You've got to get to the clearing. And my biggest challenge with this step, I think, is going to be deciding what to listen to while I work out, because I usually listen to podcasts. I'm thinking that I'm going to keep doing that, but I may try some new podcasts. I may try some new podcasts, some podcasts that have a different focus than all the usual suspects. I mean, just here, I might as well share with you some favorite podcasts that I have. And these are, by the way, these are in a completely random order. I'm just going to try to remember some of them. Freakonomics Radio. I mean, come on, what's not to like? Freakonomics Radio. It's great. Tropical MBA. I'm not in the target audience for this, by the way. You know, I'm not this location independent kind of a person. I like home. I like being where I'm at. I have no desire to go live in Southeast Asia or anything, but I don't know. It's an interesting podcast. One that I discovered not that long ago. Well, I don't think it's that old is a podcast Hired. I think it's at hired.fm. I'll put links in the show notes to these, by the way, so you don't have to look anything up. The New Disruptors. The James Altucher, is it Altucher show? He wrote the book, Choose Yourself. I don't agree with everything, but I find him pretty compelling. If you're into podcasting, hey, Dave Jackson's School of Podcasting, what's not to like there? Dan Pink's podcast, what is it called? Office Hours, I think. It's always an interview. He's not the greatest interviewer, but, you know, who am I to talk? Oh, my. So I've got the Olympics on. Johnny Weir has got on some pants that, well, he's got on an outfit. I mean, if you've been watching if you've been watching the Olympics and you've missed Johnny Weir, well, you've missed quite a fashion show. These pants are, these pants are just spectacular is what they are. Okay, I'm sorry for the distraction. See, this is the reason that we need quiet and stillness. I mean, you definitely are not going to move forward if you're watching Johnny Weir. It's just not going to happen. Podcast, Dan Pink's. I think it's called Office Hours. Listen, there are way too many podcasts in my iTunes library subscriptions. In fact, the last time I counted, there were over 60. No, I don't listen to all of them. I do subscribe, but I don't download all of them either. I probably get around to half of them, maybe at any given time. So during these twice a day workouts, I may shake it up a little bit. I may listen to some new things, some different things. So that's step number four. I'm gonna visit the gym twice a day for the next week, excluding Sundays. Number five, I'm going to play more and stop spectating so much. And by play, I mean work. Okay, it could be play. Really what I mean by that, it's about doing stuff. But more specifically, it's about serving. It's about providing value. It's about helping. It's about doing. I want to do more of that. Reading, watching, listening, consuming. That's what I mean by spectating. I want to do less of that. I mean, at least in the ways that we normally mean that with media. I don't mean that I'm going to stop listening when people talk to me. I don't mean that. So that's number five. I'm going to play more and stop spectating so much. You ever feel that way? If you ever feel like, you know, you just, I got to get out of the stands, or I got to get off the bench. I got to go contribute here more. That's the feeling. Number six, this is going to be tough. Number six, I'm going to get more sleep. Yeah. I can hear Rhonda say, yeah, well, good luck with that one. I am a notoriously light sleeper, and I am accustomed to sleeping in about 90-minute shifts throughout the night, with prolonged periods, by the way, of being awake. Thankfully, I've never been a person who needed a lot of sleep, but I like it. It's just one of those things. There are some things that I can probably do that'll help, I think. And I'm going to try these. Reducing caffeine, that might work. Might not, but I'm going to try. I'm not a coffee drinker. I do drink iced tea. I don't drink it very often. I mean, I never drink it at home. I drink a ton of water. I rarely drink soda, and it's not for any reason other than I just prefer water. So that's one thing. I'm going to reduce caffeine. I'm going to stop working earlier in the evening. Something tells me that this one's probably going to be a contributor. Here's the problem. The problem when you work out of home is, for me, the problem is not getting to the work, and the problem is not the distractions at home. The problem is stopping it. The problem is leaving it. The problem is, you know, there's not a, okay, yeah, there's a door, but closing up shop, you know, there's just, when you live under the same roof as the shop, it's hard to close up shop. So I'm going to start closing up shop earlier. This one kind of goes with that. Shut down the computer and all electronic devices a few hours before bedtime. I'm not real bad. I'm not the person who's constantly looking at their cell phone. That's not me. That's my wife, but that's not me. But stepping away from the computer, I need to do. And by stopping work earlier in the evening, that'll help that. Putting the iPad down, putting the phone down, those won't be difficult. And of course, the last thing that might help is drugs. You know, whenever everything else fails. So that's step number six. I'm going to get more sleep. Number seven is I'm going to pray a lot more. Now, you already know that I'm a man of faith, and even so, I know I need to pray more. I pray regularly, but not as much as I know I should. And I'm not just talking about giving thanks for food during meals. I'm talking about down on your knees, pour your heart out kind of prayer. When's the last time you did that? I'm ashamed to confess that I don't do that nearly as often as I should. I'm not going to regiment this. I'm not going to schedule this necessarily, but I do have a goal in mind, and my goal is at least twice a day, I'd like to make time to just get in a quiet, dark place where I can get on my knees and I can take whatever time I want, long or short, to accomplish this goal. Now, I didn't put it last because that's where it belongs. I put it last because it was the, and I didn't put it last because it was the last thing I thought of, by the way. So don't accuse me of that. It was the first thing that I thought of, but I wanted to put it at the end because for me, it's the most important step. It's not the least important. Putting God first is the best step any of us can take toward moving forward. And if we neglect to recognize the value of our soul, well, then we've missed it all. We've missed it all. Luke 9:25, the Lord said, "What's a man profited if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul?" Indeed, what is he profited? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it's first things first. And as usual, why don't we do what we know we should do? I've long been fascinated, you know, with the whole Bob Sutton book, and he co-wrote it with somebody else, The Knowing-Doing Gap. I thought it was a brilliant book and a brilliant premise that we would all, and of course the context was primarily, you know, human achievement and business and that sort of stuff. But I find it's also true in every other area of life. If we merely did what we already know, we are so anxious to learn that thing that we don't yet know, convinced that that's the missing thing. But what if we just did what we already know? If we just, because there's so many things that we're not doing, but we know to do them. Meanwhile, we're clamoring for more knowledge, and it's not the lack of knowledge that's killing us. It's a lack of action based on the knowledge we've already got. I don't know why. I'm guessing because we're selfish. I'm guessing because we want what we want. I'm guessing because that's, you know, we're selfish and it's not necessarily based on what we need or what we think would be best for us. It's based on here's what I want or that's what I don't want. And so we chase what we want. Part of my quest for stillness and silence is to rid myself of the fog created by my own self-centeredness. You ever get in a mode where you just feel like you just need to step outside yourself? You know, where you just need to make your life a whole lot less about you? Yeah, that's kind of the feeling. And so part of this is to discipline myself to pursue what I need most. It's not going to be easy. I've done these exercises before. I mean, they're never easy. But what worthwhile is? I mean, when's the last time that you had something that was just ridiculously worthwhile and it was just easy? I mean, it's just not how it rolls. So no music, no outro music, because today it's about how to move forward with the power of stillness and silence. And, of course, I'm meaning most of that metaphorically, but not all of it. I mean, there's some physical stillness and silence in there. I mean, what are the activities that happen in your life that you feel like are just, man, alive? That's just absolutely contributing nothing, not one thing to my overall life, my quality of life, my ability to move forward, my ability to get anything done. And so frequently for me, all the racket, all the chaos, all the movement, all the balls of yarn that are rolling around on the floor just catch your attention and distract you from what really is important, and maybe what you really know that you really ought to be doing, what you could be doing. So that's my plan. Those are my 7 steps. Do you have yours? I'd be curious what they might be. Visit the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. There are ways to subscribe to the podcast. There are ways to connect. And I appreciate you listening. My name is Randy Cantrell. Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas is the city of origin. This is the Yellow Studio.